we live very much in a world where, oh, the customer purchased it, now it's his or her responsibility. I always get really annoyed when I purchase from a brand that says they're sustainable and I try to go back and return the packaging, maybe for skincare, or I use the whole product. Do you recycle your packaging? Do you sell refill? What do we do with this empty bottle? And you don't get an answer from the brand. I have to say that, yeah, I'm the first person who gets annoyed by that.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. In this episode, we're going full inspiration. Technically, our B Corp month finished last week, but when I heard about the research that Leslie's up to, we just had to have a chat about it here on the show because it's part of my obsession, really. We're trying to work out where the sustainability messaging fits into your marketing. So that's what we're going to be discussing on this one. I hope you find this inspirational and interesting, and make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on my guest's very insightful top tips. And now to introduce our special guest. Leslie Rumiak is the creative director at e-commerce agency Limesharp. She's also obsessed with researching best-in-class sustainability initiatives in e-commerce. Hello, Leslie.
Hi, Chloe. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you on the show. We are talking about a topic I thoroughly enjoy a good discussion about. But before we get into that, how did you end up in the wonderful world of e-commerce?
Well, it was a little bit by accident, really. I wasn't planning on going into e-commerce. I studied graphic design with a focus on branding and print. I wanted to design and print books. I was very much in love with paper, but as you can see, it didn't really turn out this way. I knew I wanted to work in fashion and luxury because I felt that at the beginning of my career, this was a space that would allow me to be creative and try new things. But yeah, so I worked for about 2 years in Paris in fashion for a fashion brand called Marie 16 and a small group of heritage homeware brand. So I did learn a lot, work with different types of profile, 3D designers, packaging, print, art directors, marketing people also. And yeah, I enjoyed it, but I found that it was extremely stressful printing things. It really felt like if you make a mistake, it's printed, it exists in the world. And I did find that web was actually quite fun. So that's how I got into website. I wanted to be able to animate and interact with my work and my graphics. And at the same time, I also started to study interactive design. I did a master in Paris. And this is where I learned about UX and UI and design thinking. It was very much the trendy thing of the time. Everyone was talking about design thinking and it was new and exciting. So that's how I got to kind of merge my love for fashion with technology and UX by doing my thesis, and where I also started to get interested in sustainability and the impact of fashion on the environment. So I got to kind of do all three at the same time. But I only got into e-commerce when I moved to London in 2018 and a bit later found a job as a UX and UI designer for Limesharp, the company I still work for today.
So it's kind of mad it took you that long to get to e-commerce, given the things you were into. It's kind of amazing that the pathway took you until 2018 to start in e-commerce when you were ticking so many of the boxes along the way.
Yeah, I think that the funny thing is also that when I worked for a fashion brand with this marketing service, I was doing graphic design, so sending invitation, printing catalogs, lookbook. But there was also the digital service, and I could see that they were redesigning the website. It was very exciting, and I found myself thinking, I think I want to be the person at the agency who was actually designing the website and not doing invitation anymore. So yeah, it took me a while, but that was the first awareness.
Very cool. So sustainability and e-commerce, it's something which is confusing on every level, from what is sustainability and what does it actually mean, through to how should the board care about it? How do we actually make improvements? How much do the customers care? How do we put it into marketing? And Which bit of it do you find the most fascinating, I suppose, of all those different elements of sustainability and e-commerce? Which is the bit you find yourself getting the most excited about? Just a little question to get started with.
Yeah, it's a bit of a hard question, but I would say that what is exciting is that for me as a creative, there's a lot of space for experimentation. So we get to maybe implement a new service that is more sustainable. Will people want to use it? Will it be financially viable for the business? You don't really know until you try it. But then you can go back and test it and improve it. So it's never really ending. There's always something new that we can do. And I think that's what I really like about it, about e-commerce in general, but also with incorporating sustainable practices.
And it's so often the case when we're putting something new in to a business that it's when design really has to make its mark and really pull its weight. You know, it's like we're suddenly changing the way the delivery works, or the delivery options, and adding sustainable options in there, or changing our return system. All of a sudden, we've got more complexity on the page, which in and of itself becomes a barrier to purchase if you don't design it well. So do you find that the more sustainable or sustainability scenarios a brand starts to incorporate, the more important it is to get the design right around that?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that the thing that you really need to nail is the how you explain it, how you convey to people that, yes, maybe this is a little bit less convenient than what you are used to, because that's the problem with sustainability and what people might feel a bit unsure to try it out, more sustainable practices, is that maybe you're not going to get an immediate return on investment because it's less convenient, and people will go with another brand who can do an express delivery and send it to you tomorrow. So I think what you really need to be good at is explaining why maybe, yeah, it is a little bit less convenient, but that's the reason, and you're actually doing something good. And if you can explain that completely transparently, I think that you might find that people are actually, they don't mind, and they're happy to do like a little, you know, effort for that price.
Because it's so critical on all of these things to make it fit with the brand, isn't it? It's like how, you give the example of, okay, we're not doing next day delivery anymore because we can't find a sustainable partner to do next day delivery. So we're doing slower delivery, but it's better for the environment. It's lower cost for the customer, most probably, et cetera, et cetera. And we can explain the nuts and bolts of it, but if we can wrap it up in the brand of the business and bring in that why element, then all of a sudden it becomes less of an issue for the customer, and therefore no longer a barrier to retaining that customer.
Yeah, it's tricky. I think the balance needs to be really right, because obviously you want to explain why express delivery is an issue, but you also don't want to get into a lecture about pollution in your city and get like all dramatic about it, because in the end, we're here to, you know, kind of shop, and it's supposed to be a positive experience. So it's finding that balance between, I do want to make an impact and make people understand, but I don't want to create some sort of anxiety. And the worst thing is guilting your customer about what they're doing. I don't think you ever worked for a brand to do that.
No, I think it's one of the big challenges throughout all sustainability, and especially how it's evolved over the last few years, is where does the sustainability message sit in your marketing? Like a few years ago, it could arguably be part of the customer acquisition piece and going, hey, we're the only sustainable one doing the thing we do, come and buy from us. And you could use that to pull people in. But increasingly, when I'm talking to brands who are creating sustainable products, the sustainability is no longer the USP. The sustainability is something they do, but the USP is the fact their product's great. Is that something you find that you're working with people, is this kind of evolution of it being still important for customer acquisition, but it's no longer kind of like the flag you're waving at the front of everything?
Now, I think that's a really good point, because it is not the main way to acquire a new customer, but it's also quite dangerous as a game, in terms of, you don't want to be called out for greenwashing. And I found that a lot of brands that have been shouting about being sustainable, they don't anymore, because they have been called out for it. So now I think, you know, everybody is shouting about, yes, well, this is our sustainability report, here are our challenges, this is what we're doing. But I think now the way to do it is really to not shout about it, do some effort and implement some new services and implement some options that people can really use, such as, so we talked about delivery, maybe providing more options and explaining which one is the most sustainable. But I think it could also be just transparency on the product. Where is it sourced? Where is it made? You know, laying out that information. You're not even talking about sustainability. You're just giving the fact. And just being, you know, doing that, I think, can really set you apart from your competitors. So it's a sort of kind of in a humble way just to say, pure all the information, we're being completely transparent, tracing it down, you know, with the digital product passport, for example. And something that works really well, I've found, is also just admitting that you're not perfect. I don't think anybody's got the whole sustainability thing nailed down in the fashion world, but it's just showing that you're trying and you're making an effort. And in the long term, it might pay off for you as a business and for your customers who are purchasing your product.
So would it be fair to say we're moving more into an education era when it comes to brands being sustainable? It's less about going, woohoo, over here, we're sustainable. It's more about giving the facts to the customer and educating the customer about how to work out how those facts enable them to make better choices. Would that be fair to say?
I think so. Yeah, I think that that's fair to say. There's a lot of brand also that will create some content that is, you know, specializing what they do. So I've seen quite a few wool brand, for example, that do, you know, kind of high quality jumpers and cardigans. And they're also really trying to create this how-to content. They're creating guides on, you know, you actually don't need to wash wool. It washes itself. But I think for most people, that's not really obvious. That if you buy an expensive, high-quality wool product, you just need to air it, for example. So it's also creating that content that if you invest your money, it's something that is supposed to last a lifetime for you. This is how to care for it. And we are, I think, yeah, customers, most of us, were already under the impression that if I buy something, if there's a little issue with it, then, you know, I can't wear it anymore. You discard it. And I think this is what can make the difference, educating customers, but also brands educating themselves about the lifetime of the product.
Do you think as brands, we have a responsibility to help customers make more sustainable buying choices? You know, to educate them about the fact that if you buy this, you won't have to wash it so often. It's going to last you for 10 years rather than 1 year. And, you know, to educate them about wool versus polyester or cotton, which why cotton uses water, which could be seen as a problem, and why bamboo might be, and I'm tying myself up in knots just trying to ask the question. Do you think we have a growing responsibility as brands to help consumers be more sustainable, or is it all on the consumer?
No, I think it's the brand responsibility, absolutely. I don't think the consumer can be held responsible for that. Obviously, you can create the content, you can make it available for them. You can't force them to read it and then apply it, obviously. But I think, it's very much up to the brand. And the reason for that is, you know, as a designer, I also have that sort of a responsibility in the interface that we create and the experiences, is that we do so many things that we know will make people purchase more. In the end, it's the goal, isn't it? So you have that responsibility. It's not for them to do it.
We should use our toolbox of clever marketing tactics to help them make better decisions, not more decisions, is what I think we're both saying.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think that's one way to put it.
It's a big mindset shift, everybody. So if we're moving towards education, at what point do we go about educating the customer and putting the sustainability message across? Because this is one I wrestle with a lot, is like, is this, you know, do we get them in, get them to buy, and then we educate them about the sustainability post-purchase? Is it during purchase? Is it upfront? It's something I mull a lot, is at what point should we be really hitting with the sustainability messaging and the education and all that kind of stuff? Where is there one answer for everybody, or is it one of those lovely it depends scenarios?
Yeah, it probably is one of those scenarios. I think that there isn't really a one fit all type of answer. However, I think most of the time it is kind of for the whole journey and not at one specific point that message needs to go across. It needs to be delivered before, obviously, because this is what is going to help also customers make their decision. If you're also a brand that really want to push the sustainability, I'm pretty sure you're aware that customers that want to shop sustainably do a lot of research. They're not really spontaneous consumers. They're going to look at different brand, different website, check your content. Is what you're saying true? I think different people will do different, you know, in-depth type of research, but you want to make this available for them when they need it. And that's at any point. I found that it's giving options that works the best.
Putting the customer in control again.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's like one of the things that we do a lot at Lambsharp is really trying to make the online experience feel like a physical retail one. So at this point, well, if you think you're a customer, you go into the store, you can ask questions to the staff before you purchase. You can ask questions at the till. You can interact with them. You get home with your shopping bag and, you know, maybe there's a little instruction in it also. And it's all those things we can also do online.
Very true. Now, one piece that's getting increasing amounts of coverage this year, and rightly so, is circular commerce, whether we count that as taking our waste leftover fabric and turning it into something else, whether that's buyback schemes of secondhand products, whether it's completely new product ranges that are using waste materials to create them. What are you seeing in your explorations of our industry is working for brands in that space, either from a, you know, design and marketing standpoint or from a functionality standpoint?
I think this is very much the area that we really need to tackle next. And I have to say that I don't know if I've seen really examples where I thought, oh, this is actually amazing. I think that brands are yet to really think about the life of their product post-purchase. We live very much in a world where, oh, the customer purchased it, now it's his or her responsibility. And, you know, I myself, as a customer trying to purchase more sustainable product, I always get really annoyed when I purchase from a brand that says they're sustainable and I try to go back and return the packaging, maybe for skincare, or I use the whole product. Do you recycle your packaging? Do you sell refilled? What do we do with this empty bottle? And you don't get an answer from the brand. I have to say that, yeah, I'm the first person who gets annoyed by that. Because then it's like, oh, well, what do I do with it? You never accounted for the whole life of the product. And I think that there's still brands that are really trying, you know, like return, and maybe you get a discount on your next purchase, or you can get refill. You can go into the store if it's a physical store, or buy a refill online, for example. I've seen a skincare brand recently who's doing packaging where there's a pump and you can only buy half of the product next time and reuse that pump half to 5 to 10 times, for example. But it's still kind of partially working.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. So Leslie, are you ready for the top tips?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So there's this book called Small is Beautiful by E.F. Schumacher. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Not sure here. But it's quite a famous book. And what it does is that it takes the kind of challenges that we face as modern society. And what it is ultimately is about bigger isn't necessarily better. So I think if you're a brand or a business and you want to be more sustainable or more ethical, this might be the book that gives you some mind shifting about how you approach things and business and try to think about growth within the planetary boundaries, for example. So it talks about circularity that we touched on a little bit earlier. It talks about local production, finding and using the right technologies, all in a very inspirational way.
Excellent. I haven't got that one on the shelf, so that's clearly on my being added even to my reading list. The traffic top tip: which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So something that we've noticed as an agency, because we work with different clients and different business, is that organic growth is usually kind of underestimated. I mean, it does tend to convert quite well compared to paid advertising, for example. It has higher engagement rate, lower bounce rate. It's cheaper also for the brand. And I think if we go into the kind of sustainable lens, it's also a better way to create a meaningful connection with your customer and create a long-lasting relationship, someone that will come back to you, rather than, you know, like just creating some quick conversions of thinking long-time goals, really. And so, you know, it's creating evergreen content, blog, how-to guides that I mentioned earlier for those people that are doing the research first. And, you know, they might come back and search for your brand name again and again and come back to your website before they actually make a purchase. But, you know, if you look at maybe your lifetime value from the customer, it might be a lot higher.
Love that answer. Yeah, organic seems to be having a resurgence this year. A lot of people talking about organic on the show at the moment. The tool top tip: maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
So last year, we're starting to use this it's called Loom. So it's a video recording tool. We actually used it for the first time thanks to one of our clients who sent her a feedback through a video. She was recording themselves. She was showing what she was talking about at the same time. And we thought, well, why have we never thought about doing this before? So now, you know, we'll still do presentation because I really believe it's important for everybody to be in the same room from time to time. But meetings are not necessary. We might do a Loom if everyone's really busy. I don't have time to jump on a huddle right now. Record a video, or maybe we send that to a client for, you know, updating them on the designs, for example.
Yeah, Loom's an awesome one, isn't it?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Great for asynchronous communications when you need more than an email. Yeah, great top tip. Thank you. The carbon top tip: what's your favorite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
I think this might sound a little bit lame, but I would say just get started. When we did those sustainability webinars last year, I shared at the end this sort of board that I use for myself, where I know that I need to do something, but if I don't do it perfectly, I might not do it as well. That's not true at all. And I think we're all guilty sometimes of getting into that. So you're never going to be able to nail sustainability content on your website the first time. You just need to start. So I've got this board that is basically a sort of square with different boxes, and it measures low effort to high effort versus low returns to high returns. So usually it just helps you get started by seeing what is low effort but will have a really high impact. And I can get started now. What is going to have a really high impact but also ask for a lot of effort from myself and my team maybe? Then maybe organize that into a big project and get started with the low effort ones. So it's just a way of seeing how you can invest your time without pushing back all the time that, oh, we don't have the resources now, so we'll do it next year, for example.
Yeah, I love tools like that where they're just help you get past that procrastination of there's just too much to do. But if you can work it out, that's a quick win. That's a project and so forth. I like that. Very cool. Thank you, Leslie. Before we say goodbye, could you please let the listeners know where they can find you and your business on the web and social media?
Yeah, sure. So you can find us on LinkedIn, Lamsharp. You can also find us on Instagram if you're more interested into our visual and interface work, where we post regularly some visual and experimentation that we do, and also on lamsharp.net to see our agency website.
Simple as that, everybody. Leslie, thank you so much for coming on and chatting sustainability, marketing and design with me today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So Leslie's given us lots to think about now. Is your business educating your customers enough about the sustainability that you're doing? Have you worked out how to make those changes whilst keeping conversion rates up, whilst incorporating into your design and your branding. Lots of things to think about in this one. You can get your hands on our notes from the episode, those top tips and the links by heading over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can use our direct episode short links. That's ecmp.info/the number of this episode. And that will take you straight to the right page on the website. And don't forget to add yourself to our email list. If you like this episode, then you can find out loads of episodes about sustainability by going to ecmp.info/B Corp on the website, or just scroll pretty much immediately back up your podcast feed, as we've just done 5 episodes about sustainability with brands doing really interesting things in the space over the last 5 episodes to celebrate B Corp month. Thank you for tuning into this and every episode that you do of the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week because I want to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. I hope you have a great week, and do not forget to keep optimizing, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Master Plan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.